Global markets tick higher as lockdown restrictions begin to ease in more places around the world. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. First, fresh figures from China buoyed sentiment in Asia today. Exports from the world's second biggest economy fell 6.6% last month from a year ago, but that was far less than the 14% plunge analysts expected. The data helped send the Shanghai Composite Index up 1.5%, while Japan's Nikkei rallied 3%. That positive sentiment is spreading to Europe, where the Pan-European Stock 600 Index is up 0.6% on the session. It's jumped 20% from the 2020 low it hit just about a month ago. Shares in Italy and Spain are among the continent's biggest gainers as those countries begin relaxing their lockdown measures. But there's not a one-size-fits-all strategy the whole continent is following. The BBC's Stephen Ryan explains how some nations are taking the first steps.
Italy, the hardest-hit European country, is taking a dip-your-toe type approach. Businesses, including bookstores, stationery stores, and baby clothing stores, are allowed to reopen. Papermaking and computer factories can also restart. But local authorities in places like Lombardy in the north of the country are afraid of a new spike, so they're keeping stores shut there for now. In Austria, it's now mandatory to wear a face mask if you visit a supermarket or pharmacy. Starting today, smaller shops, garden centres and DIY stores will reopen. Then from May 1st, people will be able to visit hairdressers or shopping centres. And provided the coronavirus case counts remain low, hotels there could open the doors 2 weeks after that. Finally, Spain yesterday began allowing manufacturing and construction to restart.
But in Portugal, which shares a border with Spain, they're kind of in the middle in terms of reopening right now.
That's right, Victoria. On Monday, Portugal's government announced its land border with Spain will remain shut for another month. That's because they've only seen half as many cases per head of the population as their Spanish neighbours.
Here in the UK this week, we're likely to see lockdown measures extended. But in France, they've already made that call, haven't they?
Yes, last night President Emmanuel Macron said the country hasn't beaten coronavirus just yet, so the lockdown will run for another 4 weeks, when schools will gradually reopen. And Mr. Macron also said restaurants will stay closed for now and they won't have any summer festivals until mid-July. And the economic hit of the lockdown has seen French Finance Minister Bruno Le Maire revise the economic outlook for the second time in just a week. He now says the country's economy will shrink by 8% this year and its budget deficit will be 9% of economic growth.
The BBC's Stephen Ryan. Thanks for your time.
My pleasure.
As Europe reopens, India is extending its 21-day lockdown. Barclays today said it expects those measures to bring growth in the country to a complete standstill by the end of the year, as the BBC's Aranade Mukherjee reports from the capital, Delhi.
In the first phase of the lockdown, India recorded an estimated loss of roughly $4.5 billion daily, adding up to nearly $100 billion for 21 days. The next 19 days of the lockdown will mean a further dent to the Indian economy. To mitigate the economic cost of the lockdown, the Prime Minister said more would be done to help the poor. Also, with it being harvest season, the government is drawing up a plan to insulate farmers so their crops don't go to waste. The lockdown has already dealt a body blow to daily wagers, who will now be without a source of income for another 2 weeks. The government is expected to unveil fresh measures tomorrow. In New Delhi, I'm the BBC's Arunoday Mukherjee for Marketplace.
As we've been hearing, workers across India are feeling the impact of the lockdown. One industry scrambling to get back on its feet is call centers and back office operations that have, over the years, been offshored from other countries. The BBC's Fergus Nicol reports.
Due to the effects of the coronavirus, we have much fewer colleagues than usual on the phone at the moment. We expect wait times to be over 1 hour.
Banks, telecoms companies and lots of other affected businesses have been scrambling to recruit local staff to replace those Indian offshored operations. Steve Morrell is managing director at Contact Babel, a consultancy that specialises in call centres.
The main markets serving the UK are India and to a lesser extent the Philippines, and obviously we've seen lockdowns there, which is having a major impact on some of the larger businesses in the UK, in particular kind of telecoms companies and banks, and they are obviously having to deal with that as well as deal with illness, sickness, absence within their own UK operations as well. So, you know, it is a major problem.
Not surprisingly, those groups that represent India's support facilities are keen to stress just how quickly they're getting back on their feet. K.S. Vishwanathan is Vice President of the National Association of Software and Service Companies.
In the industry today, approximately up to 80% of people have been pushed on to work from home. That is completely operational. And in a global multinational corporation which is there, that number has gone up to say about 90% of the people are working from home. I would say that business impact is lower than what we anticipated in the beginning of March.
K.S. Vishwanathan. Let's leave the last word on this to Pankaj Kapoor, who watches the IT sector for JM Financial in Mumbai. Does he think there might be some big changes down the track?
Most of these companies have fairly global operations, so I will not be surprised if they would take the initiative on their own to start having centers based out of, you know, locally in, for example, in UK itself.
That's Pankaj Kapoor ending that report from the BBC's Fergus Nicol there. Finally, if cooking has been your respite during the coronavirus lockdown, a warning for you, the price of olive oil looks set to rise. That's because a disease has killed swaths of Italian olive trees, causing a 60% drop in yield. Researchers say it could eventually devastate entire plantations in Spain and Greece, which could come at an economic cost of $20 billion. In London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.